What an evil tendency that is. I mention these two because in the religious life, I consider these two forms of concupiscence the most insidious. And the pity is, they can coexist with considerable mortification with a person's living a very regular life and to all intents and purposes being a very good person. Pride can be deceptive. Envy can be destructive. We have then sinful tendencies, first because we have a sinful, that is, fallen human nature, and the fact that when we were baptized, we received, as we call it, the state of justification, or were infused with divine life, or that we are now, please God, we trust in His grace. I cannot tell you how often and how repeatedly in theology I have to say it, and I was never quite sure I got it across. The state of grace, even high holiness, does not exclude the presence of this concupiscence. Do you hear it? It's a mystery. What we must believe is that concupiscence, across the whole spectrum, these urges within us, these drives towards things that are not good for us, are innate. That means inborn. That means built into our nature. We have these tendencies because we are human beings, and the only two persons whose human natures, faith tells us, did not have these tendencies were the Son of God in human flesh and His Immaculate Mother. Everyone else, and surely we, has them. I repeat, the state of grace or even sanctity is not incompatible. Incompatible. This is part of our road to sanctification, with having these drives within us. Of course, though they are innate in all of us, they are not all in the same degree in all or in the same way. Some are more prone to pride, others to lust, others to anger, some to covetousness or envy, still others to sloth or gluttony. And it's remarkable how shrewd we can be. Say, suppose we are given to sloth. What hours of pious meditation and how many examinations of conscience we make on humility. Whereas what we need is to overcome this sloth and not hide it under the false mask of humility. There are, moreover, varied combinations, some very odd combinations. Some slothful people are given to anger. Some envious people are remarkably slothful. As by now I've told so many people, your two problems are that you are lazy and that you envy. Now, you overcome your laziness and you will not have to envy anyone. You've got such gifts from God that others will envy you. Pride is normally connected with lust. Sloth, as I've just said, is usually joined to envy, or better, most envious people are lazy. Isn't that neat? That's one source. But there is another source of these tendencies, and that is our own personal sins, which by now may have become habitual. Speaking to religious, I am not talking about grave sins. I hope not. But we can get into habitual failings in other ways. All vices of induced habit acquired through repetition. How do you acquire a bad habit? Very simple. Keep doing something bad. You do it often enough, and you will acquire the habit. That's how you get habits. They are hard to eradicate, and one of the effects of sin is the tendency it creates to repeat the sin, to enjoy the sin, to excuse the sin, to become accustomed to that sin, and to dull the conscience regarding the sin. Consequently, if we're going to overcome these sinful tendencies, besides becoming aware of how this fallen human nature manifests itself in us, we've also got to admit that having perhaps in some areas been sinning for years, I'm talking to people who are striving after perfection. What's perfection? A good definition of perfection is the pursuit of sinlessness. This is so plain. And it's so obvious. I sometimes wonder why I have to talk to people. It's all there. We've all got our tendencies. You've got to be humble, of course, enough to admit it. And wise enough to recognize which ones are the dominant ones in us. But one of the effects, therefore, of my having sinned is that I induce a state within my soul that has these five effects. I fail in charity once, twice, by now perhaps several hundred or, for all God knows, several thousand times. Possible, right? Every time I fail in charity, what do? I induce five effects. First, the tendency to repeat it. After having been unkind 100 times, it's almost spontaneous, what we call second nature. That, by the way, is a good description of habit, second nature. To be unkind 101st time. I don't even advert to it. So to repeat the sin, to enjoy the sin, I kind of like what I'm doing. In fact, if sin was not enjoyable, listen, people would stop committing sin. Do you hear that? Let's be honest. Maybe I enjoy my own wit, but at somebody else's expense. I tend to excuse the sin. It can't be that. Here I am in a religious habit, going to the sacraments regularly. Everything about me, all my friends, marvel at my holiness. In fact, they ask for my prayers. How holy I must be. What I'm doing can't really be that bad. I hope you're not still wondering why I'm talking about sin. We get accustomed to it, and our conscience has become dull. So that by now, I've heard this so often, people tell me I'm talking about religious in my conversations or conferences with them. They tell me one of their problems when I insist on confession, frequent confession. They are hard put, they tell me, to find out what to confess. Well, I hate to put it so bluntly, but I think the not approved religious have dull consciences. So much for the knowledge of my past sins and my sinful tendencies. Since this will be a, I hope, logical retreat built on the logic of St. Ignatius, I can tell you that our next conference, while we're going to finish this part of the retreat, sisters, have no fears, we're going to get past the state of purification. We're going to get on to other things than sin. But we have one more conference, the one coming up, on the knowledge of our moral weaknesses. Let's ask our Savior for the present conference to enlighten us, Lord, that I may see myself as a sinner. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Forgive us our sins. We pray in the Hail Mary, pray for us sinners, asking Our Lady to intercede for us. And as one of the great councils of the Church in the early centuries declared, after the Pelagians, you know, those who have rocked the Church to its foundations, claimed that we can be saved, indeed even sanctified, without grace. And Pelagius, the founder of Pelagianism, was a monk. The worst heresies in the history of the Church came from bishops and religious. Worst. I see so much Latter-day Pelagianism in the world today that I thought I should give the kind of a retreat you see we are making. Well, that council, in defining our necessity of grace, recall the fact that Christ wants everyone to recite the Lord's Prayer and apply it to himself. Forgive us our sins. We need grace for our purpose here, especially to make up for our by now history of sin and to help us cope with these tendencies that, as we know, unless God helps us, will lead us away from the God for whom we were made. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.